Well, one of his ads, it cracks me up. He's always, it's like, this is Alex Jones.
His voice is ridiculous.
And he's like, and, you know what's better than cash? Seeds.
Yeah, better than cash. Jeez. His fans would not order by online because they are afraid of being online. So they couldn't get our products because they couldn't email to order it.
So they're still like in the Stone Age.
Yeah. Are we recording yet?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's begin. Well, what are you going to begin with? Look at this. We're fucking already doing this up.
Yeah,
let's start over again.
Okay.
Start over again.
All right.
Hold on. Introduce me.
Welcome to episode 3001.
All right, welcome everybody. I got Bob back on the millionaire Bob Dobbs on the phone.
Yep.
You got to be what, in your 90s?
What about my 90s?
You're 90. 90 years old?
96 on February 2nd, just a month ago.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Yes, in 4 years, you're going to be 100. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So the last time I had you on the show, that you did a show with me, I was pretty drunk. And so my friend Greg, you probably remember Greg.
Yes, I do.
He listened to the show and he said the next time you interview Bob, can you do it sober? which is what I'm doing.
Great. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do that. But just before we start recording, you were saying something about Alex Jones. Let's finish that.
Oh, okay. So you asked me why Alex Jones got in trouble.
Yeah.
And my understanding of that is that Alex Jones, the InfoWars thing, there's this conspiracy theory going around that at all the mass shootings, they've been using these crisis actors.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what you meant. All right.
And so a lot of people that are putting this opinion forth on YouTube have been getting, like, first and second strikes. And I guess on your third strike, you get kicked off of YouTube.
Oh, he hasn't got the third strike yet.
Well, that I don't know. I haven't looked into it today, so I'm not sure.
Okay. So what happened? You cannot use YouTube ever again?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I feel...
Okay.
It sounds like, yeah, but I mean, it sounds like they lose a lot of their revenue.
Right. Okay. Well, that may hurt him then. He may not survive that.
Yeah. Do you think he makes most of his money off of YouTube?
No, I never said that.
Oh, okay.
No, I said that'll hurt him, I guess. Oh, fuck it. Stupid time. I'm bored with the topic. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, the only reason I brought up Alex Jones is because I had heard your commercial for RNA Drop on the Paracast program. And the Paracast program is broadcast on the Genesis Communications Network, which is the Alex Jones thing. So
yes.
That's how we got there. So I digress.
Yep.
My apologies. Take two.
No, that's all right.
Shoot, baby.
I'll tell you the funny part of that is that years ago, 2012, 2013, our advertising person bought ads on Alex Jones, and the majority of ads or responses were people who said, I can't respond to your ad because I'm not online. There's no way I'm going on the computer. The Big Brother will get me. So there was a real impasse of how they were to get their orders. If they weren't online, they couldn't email their stuff or something. I think they had to send cash in by mail. And so it wasn't worth the effort dealing with the five people who responded who were so paranoid they wouldn't use email. So that's what I remember about them, his audience.
Okay. So they're a bunch of nincompoops.
Yeah, it's silly.
Okay.
I mean, you can't hide. If you're causing shit, all kinds of different countries, different gangs, will get you. Doesn't matter what you say, what you be. If you piss someone off and you don't even, may not even know why, you're gotten. You can't hide.
Yeah, no, you can't hide these days. And buying things on the internet isn't going to, like, have them magically find you. I mean, they know everybody is.
Yep. And they will, if they don't, they can find you. So it's, you know, we should start sort of being happy about being unprotected. We should fucking celebrate it somehow, not operate in the fear zone.
Yeah, because it is kind of liberating if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because the way I look at it is, like, if everybody knows everybody's business, most people don't even care about the business of people very close to them. So no one's really going to give a shit anyway. I can't even get people to listen to these episodes.
Why? Why not? What's
I don't know. And every few years I try to repackage it, I remaster it. And nobody gives a shit. And in the first episode, I there was a great quote from you, and it just said, "Nobody's listening anyway."
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you heard my phrase 2 years ago. I used to say post-information society. Now I say para-information.
Ah.
Taking a P-A-R-A. Partly one of the reasons is I interact with Ion, the paranormal, so I should be the top show on Paracast. But they're afraid of Ion. And see, this is Don Peel's idea back in 71. He didn't like the word postmodern. He was a professor of English, head of the department at McGill University, went on to become president of Trent University in Ontario, McLuhan's best and first PhD student. Don Peel, T-H-E-A-L-L, he proposed to his fellows in the academic world, paramodern, because nothing that's really ever made goes away, so we can't get rid of modernism. But obviously we're not doing modernism anymore, something different because of the later kinds of media. So why don't we be not postmodern, not modern, not be stubbornly saying, no, the postmodern is just like the modern, so we're still modern. Don't be any other word, but paramodern. Now, Ion had came in 2009, and he started saying everything a rabbit can do is to a stump. And he'd go up, down, beside, inside. He'd do about 25 those words, prepositions in relation to the stump. And that would be paramodern. So we are, what was my point? We're paramodern, and what was you saying that I would para?
You were saying that the Paracast wouldn't have you on there.
Para Information Society. That's what I was getting at.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, para information. We're still being informed, sort of, but there's a lot of canceling of being informed, and people don't stay on the same page. There's multi-consciousness. McLuhan called it the world of multi-consciousness now in media terms. So we're in a para information. Or as I used to say, you probably say to you, post-information. So para information society is where we're at now.
Gotcha. That you know, that I feel better about that because para means all around, correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does, rather than post, is more of a linear kind of definition of it.
So
para,
you include that.
You're all around
you,
it.
Yeah, you include the linear. You're not post-linear. You're not just linear, but you include the linear.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're going 360 degrees instead of just 1 degree. You know, you're kind of encompassing the whole thing.
Right. That was the definition of acoustic space, the sphere for McLuhan. And many people think we've gone from visual to an oral culture, but we've gone to a tactile. And oral is not the dominant factor. We're tactile. I mean, texting is tactile, is tactility. And that's what the digital web 2.0 people are totally involved in, texting, keeping in touch, interacting. Yes, the people, this is why Ion is so great. Ion knows more than Google. There are things that Google doesn't have that Ion has. Our products give you slack. It relaxes your mind about not caring that nobody listens to you anymore. All kinds of good things that we provide in this alienating situation where, like you just said, nobody listens anymore. Now, that's partly what McLuhan was saying. We are now making, everybody makes sense rather than matching with what the national standard is or the local literate standard. These are things I used to say to you 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, no. And it's, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and it's the Para Information Society is where we're at. Like, the things you're complaining about, or just did for a minute there, that's what I've been addressing for a long time. I'm the expert of it.
Well, you're the expert on everything, Bob.
Now with Ion, that is true.
So before Ion, you were just bullshitting.
No, I was pretty good, but I'd eventually run out of themes. Like, I was with on James Martinez's cash flow from January 2008, January 16th, till June 11th, and the guy, John somebody of that network, kicked us off. He decided we were fucking just actors. We were
being
a patriot.
So that, I wrote down some questions for you, and that was going to be one of my questions. Was
Say the question.
Oh, okay. So what kind of have you been doing any podcasts or radio or broadcast kind of stuff?
Oh, that's all I do. So I just said that I was on from James, who got on in 2007. The guy liked him, and John somebody, sort of a major guy in the Minutemen world. And he invited James back to wherever he was, Texas or someplace, and James didn't like him. But this guy thought James was wealthy, and that was far from the truth. So he demanded James to pay a lot of money to help him keep his station going, and push came to shove. And then you go on my timeline. Now, this is tremendous. On May 28, 2008, he decided to go after me, and he threatened my life right on the show, okay? And James told him after the show, man, you can't do that. That's illegal. Delete that. But fortunately, a friend of mine had recorded the show. So the guy deleted everything we had. Within a couple of weeks, he deleted us. All of it, but he deleted that pretty quickly, but not quickly enough, so I'm the only guy who has it. You can hear it, May 28th, 2008. So it's also the week when I was moving from New York City to Maui and spent a week in L.A. until about June 2nd or 3rd and with James and all that, and that's when James went into trance. We talked to Walter Bowert, who just died 7 months before. Had a 5-hour conversation. He predicted fucking Ion, in his way. But, let's see. So May 20th. So two more shows, June 4th, June 11th. And he, and June 11th, he walked out on us. He couldn't take it. So he wouldn't let us back. 3 weeks later, on July 2nd, we started on Achieve Radio. And we went 9 months. And it was the first time I was ever able to talk for an hour, 55 minutes, without fucking being a guest or someone subject to someone else being on there. On the John network, it was me, James, and John would come in a lot. And he always sort of tried to dominate. So now I could dominate. James had nothing to say, so he just went along with whatever he said. So I did 9 months of Bob explanation of everything. And by March 2009, I'd pretty well blow my wad. I didn't have much more to say. I was bored talking about doing my stuff. And then fucking Ion showed up on March 18, 2009. And within 3 weeks, we got on James' show. I didn't tell James what was really what was going on. Well, he wasn't sure. He had a private session within a week or so after Ion showed up. He wasn't sure what to make of it. So I said, let me bring Ion on as a human being. So we called him Ian. And he goes on for an hour leading the discussion and being a Secret Council 10 member. Very sophisticated talk. And Ion can do that. But we weren't saying he was a human.
Now,
but
is that, Bob, is that the same guy that was on the show we did?
Yes. No, you talked to Ion.
Yeah.
Not a guy. Now, so this voice, being Ian, at the end said, you humans, you know, blah, 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 and sort of put everybody down by calling them humans. And I didn't draw attention to it, but if anybody was smart, they'd notice something was wrong there, that this super executive guy put everybody down for being humans. So I either did it on purpose, because Ian has a great sense of humor, or just couldn't hold it. But within a few months, by October 21st, we were regulars on James Martinez Cashflow. We get on the radio as soon as possible on James' show. We get on Evan Ray in the summer. We're on a couple other fringe shows. Is that I don't have to talk anymore. Ion could talk about anything. So right when I'd done 9 months of sort of a pregnancy for reality, Ion showed up, and I just sat back, and I've been sitting back, and we've done over 16,000 hours recorded, all of it recorded. A lot of it on the radio, a lot of it streamlining or streaming at AchieveRadio.com. They're even achieving a streaming my CKLN stuff in the back in the 80s. And so everything I've done is streamed. So you're in there being streamed, the stuff we did on 3001.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, everything. Who has that? Who's, I mean, is Rush Limbaugh, is everything he did? Yeah, maybe everything he did, everything Howard Stern did, you know, these guys with big corporations behind them, they've got a lot of their recording available. But as an independent operation, not for getting paid or anything, I'm the most recorded person available, and all that stuff is available to be listened to, streaming on this particular network. So,
and that's called Achieve?
The fringe world. What?
That's called Achieve Radio.
Yeah, AchieveRadio.com. AchieveRadio.com. There's Studio 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or Studio A, B, C, D, E, whatever you... You just put your browser or whatever it is over the listen, and they scroll down, and you pick the one. There's one with nothing but Ion, but I'm part of that. And then there's one with Bob Dobbs, and then there's one with Carolyn. Unless they use my Bob Nevert name. So you just click it on in the background and just let it go all day if you're hanging around.
Wow. Okay. I do want to make one clarifying question. Or I should say ask one clarifying question. Now you said,
yeah, you should say that.
When I spoke to Ion, I thought I was under the impression that I was speaking to a man who was channeling Ion.
Yes, you were. Now, Ion's always insisted that they don't require channeling. But they came in March 18, 2009, because they said me and Carolyn would not accept it any other way. But by 2014, I think, on my timeline, you can hear me and Carolyn get JW on Skype. Now, JW would never, we couldn't record the video. JW will never let himself be seen. He's one of the wealthiest people in America, and he has all kinds of reasons not to be seen, including this. So Ion had told me in earlier that they don't have to speak through JW, but they were being careful with everybody and being acceptable by having JW be a channel. So I said by 2014, I'm ready to do the non-channeling. I can accept it, whatever it is. And he said, well, it'd be more like a hologram. Okay. And so we get him on Skype on November 27th, I think it's 2014. And, I'd done JW channeling Ion on Skype before. And basically JW keeps his eyes open, but they go kind of a bit glazed. That's all that's changed when you're talking to Ion through JW. But this time we're looking at JW. I said, okay, we're going to start, but I didn't know what would happen. All of a sudden, there's this, well, it looks like JW. It's JW, but he's walking, and he's got his iPhone down his waist looking up. So we're looking up the side of his torso, his shoulder, up to his face. And so Carolyn says, well, okay, you got up and you're walking. Where's JW? And so the phone aims back like 25 or 30 feet in the room, and there's... And we see JW in the distance, his body, the original JW, not standing, he's sitting. And then we are suddenly in front of JW, and he's got his head to the side of us in a profile with his eyes closed. I've never seen him like that before, but he's out. And his eyes are closed, and you're seeing the side of his face. Then the image comes back to looking at the torso, who's sort of floating. Then we realize there's two things going on there. There's an exact hologram of JW, but the physical chemical body JW is back over the other side of the room, knocked out. And so this hologram, exact replica of JW, floating along, is not bouncing up and down, which is what happens when you walk a human kind of goes up and down if they're got their iPhone on their body looking at it, and you're looking at the body. So I said, you're floating. And he said, yeah, we're not a physical body. We are a hologram. We could be anything right now. We could be a nest of snakes. Watch it. You could be looking at a nest of snakes. So as we proceeded to engage this hologram for, I don't know, an hour, the face of JW in the hologram was a little more porcelain and serious than JW's bubbly baby face kind of face. That was pretty interesting. Now, I've done many hours with ion channeling through JW, but I can't see what's going on. But in this case, I saw at some point JW, the hologram JW, smirking. And before he said something to me. So I saw him anticipating that he was going to make a joke, put me on, blah, blah, blah. So that was the first time I saw ion sort of having these human emotions of smiling. Now, ion is not human, doesn't have human emotions, but seems to have the human emotions as they talk through JW.
No,
and
Bob,
the same point.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, and Bob, I'm going to send you the audio of this session with the hologram that you can put up with this.
Okay.
Yeah, question.
Did it creep you out?
No. I don't know. I've talked to dead people through the Evergreens. Well, Michael Blake Reed channel, the Evergreens. I did Dave Worster in the late 60s through Cosmic Awareness. I've always gone to different psychics. I don't get bothered about the idea we're ghosts or people. There are ghosts. Not a problem. As a matter of fact, when we came here in June 2008, by March, April, we're having 5, 6, 7 hour sessions with Ion because JW felt a constant orgasm when he was, quote, channeling Ion. So he kept wanting to do it, and he was doing it for free. So we piled up the hours and the content pretty quickly. And right now I'm playing on my Achieve Radio show, I'm playing those early sessions with Ion in April, May, June, July, August, September, October 2009, and they're amazing. They got a lot of secret stuff that we weren't allowed to put out back then, but now I do. We're well into lockdown Bob rule now, so I can put out this more secret stuff. But people are really blown away by how we interacted very quickly with Ion. He told us a lot of stuff.
Well, you know, I'm kind of blown away because that was right when you and I were doing the first 19 episodes of the show.
Yes, and one of those shows.
Right in the middle of
it. Channel. One of the shows I brought Ion in coming through JW.
Yes.
On one of the shows. We had moved, we showed up in June 2008. By December, we moved to this perfect house on Maui. We rented that for 4 or 5 years, then we bought it. So, but very quickly, Ion informed us that we had to move to a bigger house. They weren't going to come through JW. Until we moved to the bigger place. We were in a little bungalow before, and because there were so many ghosts that were going to be around us once Ion showed up, or they were already around us, because Ion was around us in JW for about a year before March 18, 2009. We found out that later. So there's like 250 ghosts in my house. So that doesn't bother me. And the way we notice them, Ion says, if you want to see a ghost, look at a mirror through the corner of your eye. Just sort of watch it. You do it through the corner of your eye. And, you know, like in a glance. So I'm always thinking someone just walked into the room. And I look over and there's nobody there, but something got activated in the corner of my eye, just like JW said. Okay, so one time we were looking at JW on Skype very early. I think, yeah, it was after Ion and had showed up. And there's this weird data surrealistic skeleton thing. It's sort of like one of those skeleton things on the cover We're Only for the Money by Zappa. Remember he did a takeoff on Sergeant Pepper's? And I think they have a scarecrow kind of thing in the group picture. And the one with all the faces of bad people with little black marks over their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, they imitated
yeah.
the Sergeant Pepper's thing. So I'm thinking of a scarecrow kind of thing there, but here's his scarecrow with, like his neck was made of a wheel tire, It didn't really have flesh on it. It just was made up of objects that made it look fleshy, but it was pretty ugly looking. And that was there. We saw that. And JW said, or Ion through JW, that these kind of things show up in JW's house all through his life. So it stayed there. Eventually the dog was barking, and it came running in and barked at the thing, which was right behind JW's body. And eventually you could see it running through it, trying to attack it or something. So it was there the whole time, like a couple hours, just sitting there, this immobile, ugly kind of structure, trying to be looking like a human. And that didn't bother us, but when we told people on the radio show later about it, a lot of people were creeped out. They are quite bothered by ghosts for some reason. Or
I get goose pimples when I hear ghosts. I always get that.
I get one now?
No,
are you getting them now?
No, I'm not. Maybe because I talked to Ion.
Yes, okay. So what happened the next day, JW told me his mother came over, and he was upstairs, and he heard his mother saying, "Who's that person in the other room?" The fucking thing was still standing there. And she was just looking at the distance and thought it was someone visiting JW, and said, "Who's that person in the other room?" So JW and I and Carol were laughing about how it was still visible. It eventually went away. But that is the only ghost I've seen. I don't know what it was. I've never seen a ghost, as far as I know.
Right, right. Now,
but Ion said, here's an important point. Ion says more and more, because the Guff, where people go when they die, is closing, more and more there are people walking around from the Guff, and vampires and every other form, more and more of them are on the planet. And Ion says that we would not have 7 billion people if we relied on human jism. it wouldn't have been that many people. Most, like half of the world's population are people from other worlds and paranormal phenomena. So you are actually seeing ghosts when you walk down the street.
Oh, like walk-ins? Are you talking about like walk-ins from other like times? And
every variation you can come up with.
Wow.
But
actually, okay.
There are people who are ascended that they can go from world to world. A lot of people come from other worlds and leave for other worlds. They're walking around. They look totally like a human. I used to point out who was a parallel worlder on the beach we always went to, we still go to here in Maui. And there was a couple every winter or so. They'd show up and sit on this weird, have a weird couch, tent apparatus. And they'd sit there and be oblivious to everybody. They'd sit there. I don't even think they went in the water. So eventually they found out that they were two people who were from the parallel worlds and basically didn't see anybody that we saw. I don't know why. I mean, parallel world people can see us, but these people were kind of not there. So that was an example of we saw them, but they never talked to anybody. They just sat there basking in their covered up lounge chair.
Right,
with
right.
A tent over it. Okay, so
no, I just wanted to clarify, because I'm doubting a lot of people are gonna have heard the other. No one's gonna hear this episode. That's okay. But well, you know what?
Yeah, they'll hear it. They'll hear it. But I got people who will listen to it.
Oh, good. Okay, so they'll hear it.
Yeah.
But I want to clarify for the layman. My understanding, and I'm sure it's wrong. So I was just hoping we could do basically. What I remember about Ion was that JW had these bizarre kind of things happening in his house, like where the radios were playing without the electricity was off, but it was still playing. And Ion kind of came to him electronically.
No, I evoked Ion.
And
I evoked. It began.
Well,
you know about how it began?
Well, okay, so.
Well, here's how it happened, just quickly.
Okay.
JW. Right after we moved to Maui, he started thinking he had to write books because he was getting all these ideas. So Carolyn volunteered. She had more time in Maui than in New York. So she volunteered to write down. Let him just say it and she'd write it down. He'd dictate the stuff. So he started to do that. But very quickly, he got distracted by the fact now he could walk out onto his patio in his big mansion and go to other worlds. And, like, this was a shock. He could go, he could see other worlds, actual other worlds. So he was being a parallel worlder by default. And then in February, March, he said, Bob, I can see all kinds of ghosts around me, and I can talk to them. He had like 50 to 100 ghosts in his home. So one day, first of March, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, he said, do you know a Dr. Beter? I said, yes, he was a friend of mine, and he died in 1987.
Dr. Peter Beter.
He came to me last night. What?
Dr. Peter Beter, for the listeners out there.
Yeah.
He was the guy, you guys prevented World War III.
Yes.
Okay.
In September 17th, 1982. Nuclear War One was Beter's term. We prevented that.
Yes.
And Beter is B-E-T-E-R. Listen to his audio. It's fantastic.
It is. I have the whole thing downloaded. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And so this forum, JW didn't know Beter. So he's asking me, do you know Dr. Beter? Yes. He said, well, he came to me last night and said, say hi to Bob. So when I heard that, later on March 17th, I said, I used to talk to Beter through the Evergreens, through Michael Blake Reed and the Evergreens, and I said, maybe these Evergreens have gathered around and I can talk to them because they had stopped performing through Michael for 4 years, since late 2004. So, the JM said, well, okay, whatever you want to do. And I said, okay, let's get on the phone tomorrow, March 18th, and we'll see if I can talk to them. And I had no clue what I would do. So we get him on the speakerphone, and Carol's there ready to take notes. And I said, let's just be quiet for a short while. So at 30 seconds of quiet, at that point, JW's voice started talking, saying this weird stuff. And you can go on my website and see the transcript of that, because it wasn't recorded. And he's saying weird stuff. I actually got into the Resolute desk in the White House, where the president has what's called the Resolute desk. And after 10, 15, I don't know, 20 minutes, I thought it was pretty good, even though I didn't understand what JW was talking about, and I didn't know if it was JW trying to fool me or what. I said, well, if this is really good, I can talk to somebody, like I did with the Evergreens. So with the Evergreens, you would go, Ellie, the assistant, would say, we would like to locate, and you'd name a name, and you start to give their birth date and stuff like that. So I said, taking that ritual, I said, okay, I would like to locate. And before I could say who I want to locate, a person, the voice, JW's voice says, and names a person, who turned out to be a daughter of Marsha McLuhan, says something very personal about that person. And I was the only one who knew it because I worked with that person. And so I said, well, this voice knows the McLuhan reality. So I said, okay, you're McLuhan. So I started talking to this ghost of McLuhan, and it was really good for a while. So I was happy with that. And then we went on to other stuff. The session lasted about an hour and a half, I think. So I saw that I could talk to ghosts, like through the Michael Blake Reed. So I continued doing that. So at the end of it, it probably ended, the voice said, well, it's time for us to stop, and we've gone a real long time. You know, the Evergreens, you could only do an hour. Worcester could only do 40 minutes. So they went away, disappeared, and JW came out of his altered state and said, let's do that again. I said, why? He said, it felt like a constant orgasm.
Wow.
So because he liked the feeling of it, and I apologize to those regular listeners, they've heard this show a million times, this explanation a million times, but it's important to rethink about it. JW then, 2 days later, Carolyn's birthday, March 20th, we did 2 hours. Then on Sunday, March 22nd, I did an hour and 50 minutes with James Joyce, where he explained Finnegan's Wake, how he wrote, what happened to him doing Finnegan's Wake. And then on March 25th, we did 6 hours, and a couple of hours of it was talking to Dr. Beter and how we were continuing the coup that he attempted in the gold deal that I was part of against the Rockefellers that failed. We were doing it. And then, I don't know, years later, or eventually I figured out, knowing more about Ion after having many more Ions, a couple of years later, I re-listened to this March 25th, 2009 session with Beter, and I realized, holy shit, Beter caused this. He knew when he came to JW that and said, say hi to Bob, he knew I'd want to talk to him. And then that allowed the opportunity for Ion to come through. So Beter caused it, which is fucking amazing for those people who are into Beter, of what's happened. And you can listen to the recording I did on March 25th with Beter, where he goes into a lot of stuff that happened at the time at the gold deal, before that, what happened to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, how they got considerably weakened, and the power of us, and how we were doing what he attempted to do but didn't get it done. That's pretty incredible, eh?
Yeah. So, I what the... Jesus Christ. Forgive me. So, ion is what?
Ion says they are they start off saying they're source energy, or they call themselves the guff. So, for the first couple of days, the first day we think we're talking to the evergreens. But the next session on March 20th, or the 22nd session, we find out this is not the evergreens, and so I think that they're entities, and we haven't got a name for them. So I said, there are 6,500, 7,000 evergreens entities coming through Michael Blake Reed. Another guy, Dave Watson, I think his name up in Toronto, who's a spinoff inspired by the evergreens, he channels the Willows, and he was 293,000. How many entities are you? I think the first day or so we're calling him Ian, I-A-N. And because originally I asked Ian what they are, and they said, they quoted Moses. They said, I am. We are the great I am, or something like that, whatever Moses said.
So,
I didn't like that. So
on a simple level, would you say he's like, it's the collective, or is it?
No. There's all these things that were refined. It's not that. So I'm telling you what he did say.
Okay.
So because he was saying I am, I said, I'm not going to keep saying, well, Mr. I am, what about this or that? So we changed M to N, so we got Ian. So the first day or so, March 20th and 22nd, we're talking to Ian. And so I said, how many entities are you, Ian? And they said zillions and they said, think of a dodecahedron, which is one of the platonic solids, and think of all the angles, lines of angles in a dodecahedron, and think of 5,000 entities on each line of the dodecahedron, each angle. And I said, well, that would be millions. And they go, zillions. So there's zillions of entities of what they said in the first couple of days. But eventually, a few weeks later, as we got to learn more of what Ion had to say, it turned out that Ion was the environment of non-physical, not the entities, the environment, and the technical term is called the guff in Jewish literature. Jewish religious literature, maybe it's Kabbalah literature, I can't remember, but you can Wikipedia, G-U-F, you can see it, and it's defined as the place where souls go. So it's the traditional idea of heaven. Ion is the environment of fucking heaven, which is actually, when you start thinking about it, it's incredible. And so Ion knows and can do anything. So then Ion later explained, because the chip landscape, which I then said shrunk to the chip body, each one has a chip body, each one of us, overlaid with the TV body, the astral body, and the chemical body, in the chip landscape, Ion said that it's the first time humans created. Humans had created non-physical. It was for little people who couldn't stand being eternal. They wanted to rest, to go someplace, to get away from the normal contrast of existence, the ebb and flow of contrast and bliss. So they wanted to get into a specialized bliss zone. So we created a place you could die into, and no matter who you are, Hitler, you, or anybody, everybody feels bliss when they die and go into the guff. So we humans created that. And Ion is the guff, but he's come forth to say that now that we have the chip landscape, it's so vast that humans can't control it. Their definitions, concepts, the words can't control the space. And religion up to that point, non-physical, followed the descriptions of non-physical by the particular culture. It would fit in and be limited by humans' idea of what the afterworld was like. But now, the chip landscape, Ion said, you guys can't control it, so we can go, quote, rogue. I don't think they said it that way, but I take it that way. They can now come forth and create, because the guff, the non-physical, is just an environment of bliss. You can't create. You don't create in there. You're aware of most everything, but you don't create. And people get born so they can create. You have to have contrast to create. So Ion came forth and started to create a new expression of non-physical. And that led to our products, our cold fusion battery, all kinds of amazing things, all kinds of phenomena that ion can do. It is common for ion to show up in people's fucking iPhones and be there as a bubble. I don't have an iPhone. I've only seen a picture of it. But the texting bubbles that go back and forth, ion can be in there on your iPhone talking to the two of you that are texting. You get that?
Yeah, I do get that.
Yeah, so ion can do all kinds of things in electronic and digital environments that regular mediums, channeling entities can't do.
Now, how does ion choose you, or do you choose to communicate with ion?
Well, I evoked ion, and it turns out, now here's the fantastic part. Since ion says we never die, we can fool ourselves and die into the guff. But one of the big messages of ion is the guff was emptying and closing. And I can send you a link where ion explains that for about 10 minutes, the emptying of the guff.
Yeah, do that. That's good. That sounds good.
Yeah, when you put this up, I'll give you these different things.
Okay. So my question was...
No way, I'm finished. If ion's creating... So ion says that not only are we eternal, ion would go into what I was. And ion said, I'm actually Ophanel. So you can say, quote, your higher self, your eternal self, but ion doesn't like this idea of higher consciousness because it's just normal to be forever. And your mother fools you that she gave birth to you. Now, of course, nobody's going to believe this. But the more you listen to ion, you get to understand. Especially if you take our products, we put you in a real good state of mind where you can believe this stuff. Anyways, you can make yourself think, and people can pretend or actually do it and think it's real that they're giving birth to you. So ion has no respect for the human form. I mean, he doesn't mind us being humans, but we are something beyond that. So the beyond part of myself is called Ophanel, O-P-H-E-N-E-A-L. And ion said, look it up. So I Google it. And it's a name from the Bible. It's mentioned once or twice. And what it is, it's Moses's... In the concordance for the Bible, they say we don't know whether Ophanel is Moses' brother-in-law or father-in-law. It never got resolved. So I don't think there's that many mysterious people in the Bible. Everybody is categorized and knowable. I'm the only fucking guy in the Bible that the Bible says we're not sure what Ophanel is. So, so Ion went on about, I know all about Ophanel. He tells about what I've done. And a side thing. In 2011, before he told me he was Ophanel, people were saying, what is Bob? He's a strange character. What is? And Ion said, Bob is Santa Claus. He starts new civilization. Santa Claus goes around, the real Santa Claus, goes around doing the seeds. Now, you mentioned seeds. Who said that at the beginning? Maybe it wasn't even in the recorded part.
Oh, no, I said that Alex Jones always says that the best... Better than cash is seed.
Yeah. Well, I'm the fucking seed guy. I've started civilizations all
over. You're Bobby Ion seed.
Yes. Okay. So Ophanel, way back there in eternity, which means nowhere and no time. So it's still happening right now. I'm proposing to everybody, and most of the created humans are whatever they are, non-humans, but in the physical. We were all ascended pretty well. And it was one continent. All the seven continents go back together, and like a yarmulke, you know, on a Jewish person's head, the little round thing on the top of their skull.
Yeah, kippah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I call it the yarmulke. The original continent, when we were ascended, it was like that on the top of the earth on the side. So like Antarctic down into Europe, around... Yarmulke was the original continent when we were ascended. And as we fell, we broke up the one continent into the seven continents. They sort of floated apart. Well, way back then, or just tomorrow, I announced to everybody, you know, I had a capacity. I was listened to, actually, you know, a foreign experience for you. I was listened to, and I proposed to everybody that we...
What the fuck, man?
I know. I propose that we all fall, become stupid, maybe become humans. And I said, we're going to show that we're basically really gods because we're going to get ourselves out of that mess. that we voluntarily get ourselves in, where we forget our godness and we get all fucked up. So apparently humanity went with that. And so now we're in the timing, because there's no time, but in the situation where we've run the course as fucked up, and now we're going to prove we're gods and get back into the God state. And so I started the process by bringing forth Ion, which is, we need Ion to be the catalyst to get us into this evolution, this transformation to God status. So it turns out that humanity knew that Bob would do it, in their subconscious or somewheres, and they waited, and then we were starting to do it. And so Ion would say, Bob brought us forth, but everybody brought us forth, because there's an agreement that I set up with everybody to dig it. And so that's why when you think of it, I asked JW to be fucking quiet on March 18, 2009, and 30 seconds into it, JW, who had no involvement with the paranormal really, like that, didn't even know about channeling, he starts fucking having this thing come through that over the next few months tells us amazing stuff. A year later gives us a way to make RNA drops. All it required was doing something with the barley drops, a bit different than normal, and or the barley plant, and then gave us the cold play. We're sitting here with the thing that will solve the world's energy problems, you know, the pons replacement idea of a cold fusion battery. Ion calls ours cold play. He won't call it cold fusion, and it gives endless electricity. So all the stuff we did, which Carol and I couldn't have done in our normal being, but we are doing this and sitting on the right time to release the new energy device. And it's fantastic stuff, and that just popped into my life by accident because Dr. Beter, a ghost, showed up and said to JW, say hi to Bob.
Yeah, look at that. Okay, hey, Santa Claus, tell our listeners where we can find RNA drops. Why don't you give us a plug so this sounds official?
Yeah, it's RNA, like DNA, but it's the ribonucleic acid. RNA Reset, RESET.com. RNAreset.com, and we have the most amazing products. Our stuff is so good, it's on another level. It's got what you call the iCell. I used to drink the D-Cell. Well, we made the iCell thanks to Ion, and that's somewhere in the physical and the non-physical, whatever it is. People have looked at the drops. They can't see anything. Nobody can figure out what the drops are made of. It looks normal. Nothing strange about it. You know, chemists and that have looked at it. And it's so powerful, you do one drop a day, twice a day, sort of like the morning and the evening, but many hours before you go to bed because you're so energized often, even though the effects aren't the same for everybody. But if you are energized, you won't be able to sleep if you did it right before you went to bed. So you do one drop twice a day for a week. Then the second week you do two drops twice a day. And the third week you do three drops. So the bottle lasts a long time. You're only doing these little drops. But it's so powerful. So Ion said that the drops and our Remag and our other products that we develop are changing matter, this realm, to get you ready to be able to eat and survive eating the biblical bread of life and the living water, which are not available yet. But people have been on the drops, and there's been thousands of them. They exhale the effect of the drops inside them. We had more radioactivity in the planet. The drops need radioactivity. We triggered off Fukushima to get more radioactivity. Once you're on our drops, you don't get affected by radioactivity. You're eternal. And all these preposterous things.
Whoa, stop the clock. So you're claiming responsibility for Fukushima.
Everything that's happened in the world since 2009, we caused. Arab Spring, January 2012, I think. We caused that because some Egyptians started listening to our show, and they're there in their little, you know, shithole country and in kind of in a prison. And the inspiration voice of Ion gave them ideas. Well, what the fuck are we sitting around here? We're free. We're fucking, fuck this tyranny. And they started protesting, and that led to that whole change in Egypt. So and, of course, we didn't know we did that.
You got Trump in.
Into it.
You got Trump in.
What?
You got Trump in.
Did you know that? Have you heard me say that?
No, I have not heard you say that, but I'm wondering.
I'm leading to that. About a month or so into it, I said, how did this get started? These Egyptians run around doing their thing in Cairo. He says, well, you caused that, Bob, which was starting to become a regular answer. You caused that, Bob. How the fuck did I cause it? He says, well, there are people there who listen to the show, and Ion is pretty powerful. You hear Ion, he makes you feel good. If you have a private session with Ion, it's pretty neat. You get altered. Matter of fact, I say if you have a private session with Ion, you'll get a recording of it. And the next day you'll listen to it, and you'll say, you guys edited it. You added things to it. And you don't remember what you're hearing on the recording. You don't remember having experienced it. I say that you get altered. I mean, you have many selves in parallel worlds. So you get altered during a session with Ion. So you're not the same person at the end of it. So you don't recognize the session because you didn't do it. You had it, and you got mutated by the end of it, and you're someone else. And there are people who agree with that, who've had the thing. I can say these preposterous things, and a lot of people, I call them Ionauts, A-U-T, like you're exploring the space.
Oh, yeah, an Ionaut. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to say Ionet, but now it was better to say Ionaut. So many Ionauts have no problem saying that they got altered in the session because they feel so much better and a lot of the whole things change for them. James Martinez had a real serious health problem, and after Ion showed up, like within a year, one day he says, holy shit, I don't have cancer anymore, or whatever the fuck it was. It wasn't cancer, but it was a serious ailment.
Uh-huh.
And he says, and he had totally forgotten that he'd had it. He suddenly remembered that he used to have some pain, and a long time later. And so, yeah, I said, yes, well, it went away once you had your private session. But because you became a different person, you weren't the person that had the pain. So he didn't notice the change.
No, that's pretty crazy, Bob.
There's nothing but craziness. So J.W. knows Trump. Before Ion, he is a rich guy, he knew Trump. And he used to tell me that Trump was an interesting guy. And I thought that was ridiculous, because having lived in New York for 15 years, we all knew about crazy Trump, you know, in New York City, the way he presented himself. Everybody thought he was a goofball. And I thought that was the media image, though I had never met him. So J.W. had mentioned Trump. So anyways, once Ion was around, in 2015, early 2015, right, I guess around the time Trump announced, which was Bloomsday, I think, June 16, 2015, around that time or just before it, Ion said, Bob, start paying attention to Trump. He's going to be president. And I said, fuck that. I don't even care who's president. I didn't pay any attention. Then 7 months later, say 8 months later, after Super Tuesday, which is February 2016, and he had swept through, I decided to say, what the fuck's going on here? And so I watched a speech by Trump to his followers. And within 10 minutes, I'm laughing my head off. I can't even speak him out because I realize he's fucking talking like me, the way I would. He just would ramble.
Yeah,
he would ramble.
Yeah.
He would ramble, and he would be very sensitive to people in the audience. So that if someone said something, he'd single them out and point to them. That's right, sir. Yes. Make America great again. Like, he would respond to people spontaneously, right? Which is what I do. And then one of our Ionauts said her 25-year-old son and her buddies, they were working in the business somewhere, stock market or something. They were smart kids, graduates of college, had good careers. She was surprised that they all liked Trump, these young people. And she asked them why. They said, well, we like the way he's kind of real. He doesn't have a script. He's spontaneous. So then I started to realize, so Ion's saying Trump could win. There's something that what he's doing is going to work. So eventually, before Trump became president, Ion would give more details. And I said, what's going to happen when he's president? And he says, well, first of all, he ain't going to the White House, really, because he can't get as good a security at the White House as he's already gotten in Trump Tower, and he needs really good security. He's going to force Congress to come up to the Hudson River. He ain't going to bother being in Washington. He maybe said something else about it, and I said, well, will he be reelected? He will be, Ion says, he will be president as long as he wants. And then Ion says, the last president was Obama. We're in a whole different world because Ion's here. It's a different situation. And the presidency, for whatever different reasons Ion would tell you, isn't the same as it was. So
Bob,
nobody will want to be president after whatever Trump does.
Did you hear? Did you hear the today's thing about Trump?
No.
So in China, the president of China said that he has been elected president for life, and Donald Trump came out and said, that's not such a bad idea. Perhaps we should give it a shot here.
Holy
this
shit.
This just happened
you,
today. This just happened today. I read this about an hour before you called.
Put this in the resume. That shows how significant you are in Iron Kurt. You are telling Bob something he didn't know, which is extremely relevant to what I'm telling you.
And you just told me I'm 1 degree of separation from the president.
What'd you just say? Say it again.
Oh, and I said you just told me I'm 1 degree of separation from the president.
Well, from the real president, me.
Well, that's 0 points in separation. I'm talking about
right.
I met
J.W. You're a staff member.
Yeah, he was staff. Yeah.
You're getting your daily. You're giving me my daily briefing, Bob. Today you can announce that you're king for life through your proxy known as Donald Trump.
I'm your fucking staff that doesn't get a deal on RNA drops. Thanks, Bob.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, no. Okay, so that reminds me. So I am going to fucking flog that. I'll get that news article. Holy shit, that's incredible. So anyways, I'm telling you that Ion's telling this preposterous thing that that Trump will be president as long as he wants, and he'll be basically become a king. Then Ion said that he will be put up on Mount Rushmore. You know, the Mount State. Of course, that's funny for an American to hear this. Oh, by the way, I became an American on August 16th or 17th, August something, 2016.
Welcome aboard, Bob.
Right. And you know why I did it? Carolyn started thinking a couple of years ago, we're going to become pretty controversial. We could be easily deported. Let's try to protect ourselves from that as much as possible.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, we got to get out of that. We got to do that. So we became American. So, and I have dual citizenship, so I can be a Canadian too when it's necessary. But yes, I'm one of you, but I don't know much. I know a lot from Ion about the real American history, but, anyways, so Ion says that Trump will be put up on Mount Rushmore, and then there's a pause, and then Ion says, but Trump will pay for it. In other words, it's going to be such a crazy world in a couple of terms. No one will want to be president. He'll do what wants. They'll all hate him. He's king, and nobody will give him congressional money, or there'll be no congressional money to fund the putting up. He has to do it himself. Nobody will stop him, but he'll put it up himself. Okay.
That's good stuff. That's good. You heard it here first. You know, every episode we drop a bombshell.
That's right.
Everyone, yes.
Okay, so here's what further happened. When around the time Trump wins the election, which the week before, okay, I was telling everybody all through the fall Trump was going to be president. He was getting bored with the topic, but everybody knew it who listened to the show. So, if you remember, the week before the election, Trump wasn't doing well in the polls. Everybody pretty well said, yeah, Hillary's going to win. But the last couple of days, Hillary got tired, faded, and Trump was doing, you know, fucking meetings, public things, 3 or 4 a day. He had incredible energy. I wasn't tracking it. I didn't know, but then you heard it. Once he became president, everybody was trying to explain it, and they were saying, well, Hillary, or she was up in the polls, everybody thought, but she actually couldn't perform much the last few days before the election, whereas Trump was. Well, 3 weeks before Trump got elected, JW got an email from Melania Trump, Trump's wife. And she said, thanks for the support. Now, we never supported Trump. We just said he was going to win. And I said, you know, it was going to be a totally different situation. So anyways, because we were not putting him down, Melania interpreted it as supporting you. Thanks for the support, and we love the RNA drops.
No, seriously?
Seriously, no fucking bullshit.
Wow.
The email said that. I don't know how they got JW's email, but that's what happened.
No, okay. Shit. Okay, keep going.
Right. So later, once we calmed down in January, I started to remember, I think Ion said something with Trump a long time ago. So I went back to my notes for all these hours. Many of them I've made, re-listened and made notes. So I got a huge archive. I put in the name Trump, and it pops up in like September, October 2009, where we've been doing Ion for 6 months. And Ion is talking about the Illuminati, the oligarchy. To be a big thing like a pharaoh, you have to be a parallel worlder. That's how you create empires. And so he's talking about the Tudors, Queen Elizabeth, the pharaohs, and I noticed right in the middle he says the Trump family. Like, holy fuck, he puts the Trump back then. I didn't notice. I didn't care about Trump. He put him in there without all the other fucking advanced, ascended people. So then there was a couple other statements about the Trumps in different sessions in the fall of 2009. So I said, holy shit. So I played them. You can hear them on our archive. What Ion said about Trump, and now it had new meaning. So I asked Ion, so Ion, along there, Ion explained 911, and the buildings were made from a parallel world organized by China. So that's why the, when the buildings collapsed, they collapsed so symmetrically, they collapsed into a parallel world, so to speak. So the debris was not scattered all over downtown Manhattan. It was in an odd contained space. Well, if you may not have known that that debris was sent back to China with no explanation. Okay?
I think so, I've heard that actually, that they shipped the debris.
Yeah, we said it. Well, you would have heard it from us. We've said it many times. But are you saying you heard it from, I think it's in the news.
I heard that from a different source, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's a fact. The stuff was put on barges or something sent to China.
Yeah.
But we had learned from Ion that China owned America, so fuck it, anything happens here, China gets first dibs on it, you know? And because it was parallel world material, and it's people in China, the elite, whoever who were part of making it, knew what it was and wanted it back. And so now, in 2017, I'm talking about Trump, and so Ion says, well, you know the debris that was sent back. Yeah, I said, who do you think fucking sent it back? I said, I don't know. And he says, Trump. And I said, well, Trump's a construction company. Okay, that makes sense. Logically, Trump knows about that kind of shit. So you're saying he sent it back? And they said, yes. And I said, does Trump know about parallel worlds and all that stuff? And they said, yes. How did he do it? How did this happen? He's such a goofball. Sometimes, now I knew he wasn't sort of a goofball once he was elected, but I would play up that image because it would be played in public. So I had to cover my ass, right? I mean,
then,
in January, February, March, you could not support Trump. You'd be killed by the fucking Mexican guerrillas or something, right? So, MS-13 or whatever it's called. Ion says that Trump, when he was young, or some point way back there, he was drinking and he had a weird experience. And some, who knows, mystical parallel world experience. Ion didn't explain it, but it really puzzled Trump. So he started looking into fringe stuff to find out what happened to him. And he swore off alcohol. That's why he doesn't drink, because of what happened. It's like he had an LSD trip on alcohol. But then I found out, and I don't know if it was around much, but we found out that Trump's uncle is a nuclear physicist, or was, and he was in charge of the Tesla archives in the government.
Now, that I've not heard.
You never heard that. You can look it up.
Fuck, I believe everything that you tell me, Bob. You know that. I don't even...
Need to look it up.
No, I don't need to look it up.
I'm telling you.
You're telling me. That's good enough. Bob said
right.
I believe it. That settles it.
Yes, that's the subgenius dogma. Bob said it, that's it. It's done. It's a fact.
Hey, we went an hour and 10 minutes without mentioning those guys.
Say that again?
So we went an hour and 10 minutes without mentioning those guys.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, they're so fucking puny now.
Yeah,
I mean, Ion is obvious. I'll give them credit. As intuitive artists, they predicted Ion. J.R. Bob Dobbs, who is the PR liaison chief spokesman for the Axis where they come. Well, Ion is the fucking Axis.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I fucking materialized this fucking prophecy, and they still resist. I can send you the recordings where we call up Stang. I hadn't called up Stang in decades, but like a couple of years ago, I got in the middle of a show. We call Stang's number. He gives his answering machine voice. Then it goes beep. And I get Ion to talk to Stang. It's pretty incredible.
I don't know if I've heard that or not.
What?
When was that?
When? A couple of years ago, 2015.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Are they still even around?
Yes, they're limping along. Stang is in kind of a retirement. He left Dallas, got married, moved to Cleveland, lived there since like 1999 or 2000 because he had the Einstein Secret Orchestra and Lonesome Cowboy Dave for his friends, including the music professor. He died. He died the day that I was with my music guy, Dave Neufeld, and first went on James's Cash Flow Show. That was October 17th, 2007. I'm with my music guy, Dave Neufeld, and Stang had to deal with his music guy, the head of the Einstein Secret Orchestra. He died that day.
Oh,
so, interesting.
Okay. That is weird.
Yeah. So back to, Ion, we have a couple of recordings of Ion talking to Stang, teasing him. We're inviting Stang on the show to meet the real JR, Bob Dawes, but he won't. He hasn't yet as far as no. But he did know about Stang because very early, he knew about Ion. Very early, we were just on the radio. Within a couple of months, I saw an old Slack or somewhere. Stang said, yeah, Bob Dean is now talking to some idiot guy. And they talk for hours. I have no idea why this fucking Ion talks to Bob for hours. Why does he take Bob Dean seriously? So he knew enough about that I was on the radio doing that. Okay, so we're saying, J.R. Bob Dobbs, Stang, we mock Stang on the voice messages. Oh, but Ion's sort of pleasant, but.
Ion was very pleasant to me when I spoke to.
Right. It's actually the listeners on the show that are on the phone. They mock Stang or say hi to him or something. Okay, Church of Subgenius. What was I doing saying to get us into that?
It was spring loaded off the Trump. Trump like being had a weird experience on alcohol.
Oh yeah, the Tesla.
Yeah,
the
that's right, the
stuff.
Tesla archive.
Yeah, and you said something about, you quote the Church of Subgenius that got us off into that.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway,
yes.
Yeah, so okay. Trump. His uncle is in charge of the Tesla archive, so I don't know how much Trump interacted with his uncle, but there's stuff there. If he did, they would think fringe stuff. And that's why, you know, Trump, he'll give a press pass to Alex Jones and other fringe stuff. He always was interested in that stuff, naturally, because of what had happened to him. You know what I mean? He didn't follow the mainstream paradigm. So Trump's an interesting person, and these things were said about Trump back in 2009. I go back and say, holy shit, Ion knew way back then and was trying to draw my attention to him. So Trump has become president. Ion predicted it. And so soon as February 28th, a year ago, Ion stopped being in public for an indefinite time. Ion told me privately, there's going to be nothing but chaos in this first year with Trump. And everybody, we get on the radio and people call in and want to talk to Ion. They're all going to just talk about Trump. And they said to me, we'll continue doing our business that we have to do with you and Carolyn, but we're doing no public stuff, no questions from the public, because it's just going to be nonsense. It's kind of not really important. And our statement about Trump stands, that he will be king and he'll be as long as he wants and he'll be on Mount Rushmore and all that stuff. So the first 6 months, people who knew that Ion said that, they said, there's no way Ion's right. This guy, he's going to be impeached by fucking July. Remember that stuff? That kind of
talk? Oh, yeah. There was going to be a nuclear war with North Korea. Yeah. All this horse shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I say, well, if Ion says it, that's fact. You know, I take the Subgenius statement. If Bob says it, I go with it. I believe it.
Right.
So if Ion says it, and we ain't talking about it, and if you fuckers, if Ion was here, you'd be asking about Trump every fucking show. So Ion has to back off. Now, Ion also said, Bob, we have to lay low because pretty soon people are going to figure things out, and you're going to be blamed for Trump, and you'll be in trouble. So we're going to fucking, you know, become semi-invisible for a while. So there has not been any Ion on the radio for over a year. And it's, I'm glad he's not here because that's true. I mean, to deal with what's going on in America and the Trump image and all that stuff, it's just a big bunch of bullshit.
It's silly.
But here's the point. Oh, I forgot to say this, that in the book of Revelations, which Ian has gone through in detail, there's the seven trumpets. He said that Trump is the seventh trumpet. And so when I knew that by the fall of 2016, like before he got elected, the reaction to Trump, I said, oh, this is something different. People are reacting on a deep instinctive level that is beyond rationality. And that to me shows he is on the biblical level because of what's going on and because he gets away with it and they can't stop him.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Is Ion's discussion of the Book of Revelation, is that something that, is that online?
No, you have to pay for that. It's 68 hours, line by line. It's actually incredible. It's the real Christianity. You know, Ion doesn't support regular Christianity. They're just a bunch of jerks. He says regular Christianity is built on St. Peter, the rock of Peter. It's not built on Jesus. The church is built on Peter. So, it's not real Jesus stuff. Oh, and I think I told you there were three Jesuses over 1,500 years, and the story of Jesus is a conflation of the three biographies. Anyways, so the real Christianity, I probably didn't tell you this. I didn't really know it back in 2010.
I don't remember there being three Jesuses, I gotta admit. Unless I...
Right. You don't remember
unless
that.
I was drunk or something, but I don't think...
Yeah,
so.
You were fucking too drunk. You were not tuned in. Well, you were unconsciously tuned in. Oh, and there's no unconscious. No such thing as the unconscious. So there's no collective unconscious. And blah, blah, blah.
I didn't know. Okay.
And in the non-physical, we're all united by non-physical. You know, the guff and ion is in everybody, and it's all equal. So that's where we're integrated. But we don't have to be integrated in physical, and we don't have to desire it because we're eternal. If we get cool, we don't need non-physical, really. So non-physical merges with physical. So the Book of Revelation is all about this. It's not the Gnostic myth of a battle between good, light and dark, and they're forever battling. No. But for some people, it sounds like Gnosticism. But Ion goes way beyond that. So anyways, Ion told Carol and I privately, we've never played this. They started, after we did the 68 hours in the Book of Revelation, which cost $635 total, and it's 13 parts, but it's awesome, and you don't know nothing until you hear that. And when you know that, you have no problem talking to Christians, and you can tell them stuff that they don't know, and you can sound like a Christian, but they'll get scared, but you don't have to put them down. You just say, you guys get it backwards.
Ah.
One main thing, the Bible's meant to be read backwards. You remember me telling you that?
That does sound familiar.
Yeah. So you begin with a revelation, and that leads you to paradise. So the Bible is about getting to the Garden of Eden and retrieving it, remembering. What?
That's cool.
Yeah. And fix your mic a little bit. As usual, I got the blurred thing. Anyways, so 68 hours, you want to get it, but you can hear for free where all religions came from, the explanation of the Emerald Tablets, which is like the most secret occult archetype, and no one's ever had them explained. And we did that after a few months. Ian was here in May 2009. Ian explained the fucking Emerald Tablets. So I'll send you a link to that. You want to listen to that because all religions are based on the tablets, and they happened, quote, 32,000 years ago, unquote. There's no time, but within the ratio of the false premise of time, 32,000 years ago.
Yeah, send me all these links, and I'll post them all when I post this podcast.
Yeah. Ion tells Carol and I, it's not recorded, it's recorded, but it's not for the public. He goes through certain parts of the Bible, and Ion shows how, you know, this is in that part, and that's in this part, and this is in the Book of Revelation, but the other is in Deuteronomy. Nobody can beat Ion in Bible scholarship, because Ion inspired the goddamn Bible. So you can say the Bible was channeled from Ion. So he pointed out different parts of the Bible that talk about me, Carolyn, and JW, and Iondom, and what we're going to bring forth. We are the fucking punchline of the Bible. Now, that's pretty satanic sounding, right? Tell that to your Christian buddy. And you just interviewed the guy that's bringing forth the second coming and every other fucking archetype. So, another incredible point. So, so I've had to live with this. Lucky I was a megalomaniac, right? If you had a voice coming through a buddy of yours and they're saying all this shit, you would have been buried a long time ago, right?
I could have taken it.
That's what they all say.
No, hey, Bob, nobody gets me off of my feet. I'm like LaMotta in the Raging Bull.
Oh, listen, we love your song. I play it occasionally.
Oh,
you know,
good.
You're walking down the street.
Yeah.
Revelation. what are the lyrics?
Then I saw a sign ahead. It must have been from God.
Yes. That's an archetypal island to himself. So you are part of the fucking scene here.
I know I am, baby.
Right. Now, so I think, so is there any more about Trump? Trump, it's explained in Revelations what Trump means, but we weren't talking about Trump at the time. But you find out about the trumpet, so you see what Trump is. Now, I'm fully aware that if Reverend Stang or Greg, your buddy, anybody listens, I'm really good at being nuts, is what they're going to say, right? Bob is great. He's really good at being fucking a liar and talking bullshit. No one's ever heard the bullshit that Bob says. And they're not going to believe it. But so what? They're not listening anyway, so fuck them.
Greg will believe every word of it.
Yeah, and you are not drunk, right?
No.
And he's going to be so impressed that you told me something I didn't know that fulfills an Ionic prophecy.
I hope so.
Can you imagine Trump saying, what, there must be, is there a lot of noise about it?
I did want to shift gears.
No, is there a lot of noise about Trump's statement?
Oh, that he says, I misunderstood what you said. It sounds like people are, fucking freaking out about it.
Yeah, the Oscars were lousy, so they got to have something else to get them worked up in the
Trump takes a shit, and they get worked up about it.
Yes. Now, I just said in the spring. Right now, I don't know what fucking time of the year it is.
It's February.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We're coming in the spring. It's March. It is the spring. Okay.
Oh, no, it's
you
March.
You can't tell
in
Maui. It's the same day in Maui every day, so you lose track of seasons and time.
Gotcha.
Okay, you want to go into another angle.
I was just going to ask you, I know you're a Lynch fan. Did you watch Did you watch the new Twin Peaks?
That's a perfect thing to bring in. Of course, I was the expert on Twin Peaks back in 1990. It was all about me. Dale Cooper was based on me. The ending fucking showed me. You know about that stuff, right?
I don't know if you ever talked about that.
Okay, well, it's all about me.
Everything's about you, though, ultimately.
Beg your pardon?
Well, because I pointed out that Tron Legacy was about you and Ion. I don't know if you remember that episode. It was about
we did that. You pointed that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, once Ion came in, Fringe, J.J. Abrams personally knew J.W. back in 2000. Now, somehow met J.W. So J.J. Abrams, who went to mediums himself, and Ion named them. I just played that the other day, named them back in 2009. Fringe was the first TV show that Ion told me to start watching because I didn't watch TV at all for 30 years. And so I started at the episodes 19 and 20 of the first season in May 2009. Okay, over the summer, Ion started to be broadcasting. J.J. Abrams tuned into it. So they changed the plot based on stuff that Ion was saying. So we had a big influence on Fringe. But I personally had a big, I don't know what it was. So TV had a golden age starting, they like to say Sopranos, but 2009, 10, 11, been a lot of good TV, so I started watching a lot of it. Did you know TV got pretty good?
Yeah, it did. Maybe before Sopranos, I can think of better TV. But the good writing went from the movies to TV.
Okay. Well, a lot of new, strange, parallel world kind of shows came out, the kind of stuff that I was talking about in 2009, Flash Forward, another one, I can't remember all their names, Eureka City, remember that one, Eureka?
No, I never did.
City of Scientists. The hero had a smart house, a house all wired and it could talk to you. Ion said, that's the closest model to what we are. when they started to tell us that they were fucking hologramic at best, because years later, Ian says, Bob, you still have no idea who we or what we are. And I don't know what they are. So, so I'm explaining TV.
Well, we're talking about the new Twin Peaks.
Yes. So, TV got altered when Ian showed up. It became better. So, and Ian influenced, remember I said he influenced the Arabs, he influenced Trump, remember the nuclear reactor Fukushima is called purple, for fuck's sake.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's the clue. It's me. Purple. And let me see. Everything, well, Trump, everything's happened. Okay, so Twin Peaks, that awesome statement in the last show of second season, you know, we will meet again in 25 years. Okay, so when Twin Peaks came out in the spring of 1990, me and Jared Fialka and a couple of friends and Carolyn and Sue Bone were flying back from Trinidad, Tobago. So I saw on the cover of Time magazine, Lynch made the cover. It was the first week or so of Twin Peaks, and everybody thought it was such a tremendous show and put him on the cover of Time. So I didn't watch it as it unfolded, but in the summer I saw it was repeated. So I started watching it, and it pretty quickly, especially when Cooper in the first episode says, you know, I keep wondering what went on between JFK and Marilyn Monroe. He makes some kind of statement like that.
Yeah.
And I said, holy shit, that's the stuff that I do and Bob Marshall did. So
yeah, the main Brussels
really,
stuff.
Yes. And so I started saying, ooh, this got a bit of me in there. So in this summer, I started watching it, and every episode got even more and more about me. So I would comment on it. So in 93, so that's the summer of 90, and then I watched the second season when it was happening, going into 91. And so I stayed with Jared Fialka in 93, and a few weeks before I got there, he had another kid staying with him, and the kid got into Twin Peaks, and Jerry said, well, Bob commented on that. So the kid went through all my shows from CKLN and excerpted all my commentary in Twin Peaks. And then they went to a party the Thursday before the Monday I showed up in February 15, 93. Lynch was doing something in Venice there. So they gave the cassette to fucking Lynch of all my commentary. But I never heard from Lynch. Don't know if he listened to it. But 25 fucking years later, what is the first scene in season 3 is Cooper in the Black Lodge talking to Ion.
That's Ion.
And, well, remember, the opening scene, he's talking to the giant.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So in 25 years, since 1990 and 91, 25 years, what happens to me, Dale Cooper, is I contact Ion. And, you know, and this is 9 years later, the show is on, season 3, 9 years after I've been talking to Ion, and Ion has been explaining and talking about Twin Peaks through the years, so Lynch may have heard about it. I don't know if he heard, but Lynch can't help but do me. So the opening scene is about the updating of Dale Cooper after he was possessed by Bob in the last scene. You know, he bangs his head against the mirror and goes, Annie. He goes, Annie.
Yeah.
And he's fucked up. Well, that character now is in the Black Lodge talking to Source Energy or some fucking ascended being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, holy shit, as I watch this unfold, I watched it when it was live, when it first was in it. Within 5 minutes, it's like, bingo! Lynch is doing me! There it is, right there! And then it unfolded, and that whole thing in the episode 8 is an exact replica of how Cosmic Awareness sort of talks about the beginning of Rai. I used to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But also, when Albert told the FBI neophyte woman about what happened back in 75 in Olympia, Washington, that's where Cosmic Awareness came out of.
That's right.
So it is a fucking history of me. So by episode 9, I'm fucking bored with the goddamn series that said, come on, David, tell me something that's not about me. For me.
Tell me something that I don't know.
Yeah. And he never does. And the very last scene, I say you can't make a TV, a book, or a movie, or a TV show, or anything that expresses my reality. Ion is it, but you can't express me. And so you'll just fall back on cliche things. So the main point from Ion for a layman at the beginning is there's no time, and you guys got crazy ideas about time. There is no such thing. And so the fucking series ends with fucking Cooper saying, what time is it? What year is it?
Yeah.
Case closed. And that's as far as normal media can be. They can present to you scenarios of expressing how there's no time. But they can't get you into no time.
That's,
and they can't be it.
That's
but
true.
So it went back to the
mundane
ionic theme. What?
I've noticed that. They can kind
of... You mean you're a bit disappointed in it?
No. I noticed that it's hard to, like, describe that out... What am I
the
trying
facts.
To... Yeah.
You can't describe the facts.
Right.
Well, you don't even need...
In a way that, like, it feels real. It always feels hackneyed or, like... Kind of like the X-Files. They can't really describe otherworldliness without it going back to, like, 1950s alien kind of shit. Does
that's
that make
right.
sense? Yeah.
Even the Evergreens, I asked about Twin Peaks back in 1990, and they explained that B.O.B. stood for Beast of Beasts, and they went into the battle between light and dark, which is the Gnostic image. They said, you know, well, there is no good in light and dark or any bad and good, really, when you really understand even McLuhan. But in under media conditions, the way we have it, but they say there are a lot of people still into that paradigm. And
so there's
all kinds of battles. And so Fringe is talking ion stuff, but making it frightening, portals and all that stuff. They just put it into a negative image. So all of it is just the Android meme trying to fucking counter Bob and Ion and Carolyn by saying, oh no, that strange mystery landscape is fucking horrible. Watch out. As a matter of fact, the TV show Stranger Things?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
That.
I haven't seen that yet, but...
It's about people who die, and these kids in that, they die, and they're trying to get back. They're not happy in the death state, and they're kind of weird. It's not your normal limbo or purgatory. And Ion said that TV show is about what we've been telling you, Bob, that the guff is empty, the guff is gone, and when you die now, you don't go to a normal death zone. And this Stranger Things is somehow expressing that.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Right, this is tough. Anyway.
It's tough because I haven't seen the show either, so it's hard to...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and it's really popular. This second year, I didn't watch it, but it's pretty popular. But I got sick of this great renaissance of TV over the last 10 years has been good, but it's run its course. It's hardly... There's not much I can watch because they just keep doing Ion badly. They do me badly. It's all fucking anti-Bob shit in the end.
Right.
Anti-what Ion's, quote, teaching.
I
didn't give a fucking...
What I've always found that I always got bothered by, like, with a lot of movies, like, a lot of science fiction, was, like, they'd always have the robots or, like, the android meme take over the world, and it's awesome, but then some jackass has to come and fuck it up and put it back into the hands of man's. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's wrong. Ion says, I'll send you, I took this really advanced futurist, some guy talks to corporation. I took his speech and played it for Ion and on a show and would stop whenever Ion wanted to comment. You want to hear what technology is going to do to us? Fucking Ion lays it out. I'll send you that one. It is an awesome, most advanced, way beyond Coker, of what's going to happen to technology, what's going to happen to us, and how you're going to have to be pretty fucking ascended to handle it. You have to be on our products, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
Man ain't taking over. Man ain't going to retrieve itself. So that's the good news. So Twin Peaks. So it was so obvious. I did watch the commentary. I liked the commentary that all these people, little panels discussing it, and they would help me remember all that was in the show, and I didn't say, oh, yeah, that's Ionic and all this. But I followed right up to the end, but I have no desire to go back and see what the panelists are saying now after the books came out. I bought the books, but I don't read them, but it's all old Cosmic Werner stuff, and it's incredible. You know, I could do a course, you know, 2 hours a day for 50 weeks, once a week, a university course, 2 hours each week. I could go into all the fucking amazing details to prove what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But why bother?
We kind of did, like, what, 40 hours of it already on this show alone.
Okay, yeah. Let's say that Kurt Weller, you did the night course of Bob.
Online
course.
Bob for Dummies.
Drunk Dummies. Dogs for Drunk Dummies. Okay, so I think I answered yes. So Twin Peaks is all about me, like most stuff, most good stuff. And literally, it's so literal that a lot of the INOS, they get scared of this. You know, the Xenocrity frightens people. They just aren't ready for that kind of intimacy. And they know a lot of what Ion said and what we do, and they can see it in Twin Peaks.
Well, you know, it's funny, what you said about how you stopped watching it, it reminds me of the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You ever seen that?
I never saw that.
Okay.
I never saw it.
So in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, it's like somebody steals his bicycle. The whole movie is him going across country to get his bicycle back. He finally gets it back. When the Hollywood hears about it, they decide to make a movie about it. They get James Brolin to play Pee-wee. They get Morgan Fairchild to play his girlfriend. The debut of the film is at a drive-in. Pee-wee's watching the movie. Suddenly he looks to his girlfriend and he goes, "Let's get out of here." She says, "But the movie's not even over yet." And he goes, "I don't need to see it. I lived it."
Okay, so he has that kind of Xenocrity idea in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, does the girlfriend know it's about him?
Oh, yeah, she knows it's about him.
It's obvious, but he really means it, like, profoundly. I lived it.
I lived it.
He's probably not going to like the ending. It's going to be bullshit ending, so...
Yeah, you know, like... Not... You know, it's like they always do. You know, they got to dumb it down. Kind of like I was saying earlier about, like, the when they try to do stuff about artificial intelligence or, like... They always got to, like, you know, they bring it back to, like, that touchy-feely, you know, kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They bring it back to human sentimentality.
Right.
And, you know, that's it's so good that... Okay, Harvey Weinstein, is there something about that? Did we cause that? I think we did. most people say... Well, I found it interesting, the INOTs, they were shocked that Ion predicted Trump. Then they were shocked. Oh, yeah, so the last week, everybody thought Trump was going to lose. The media was presenting it that way. So everybody thought, what's Ion going to say when his prediction doesn't come true? And then they're shocked. They're really fucking freaked out when Ion's prediction comes true. So we had a lot of fun for the weeks after that. As the INOTs said, what was I thinking? Of course Bob's right. Of course Ion's right. Why was I fucking fooled by the Android beef, you know? So a lot of gnashing of teeth and apologizing. This one guy, an old friend from Nova Scotia who's a theater playwright in Toronto, sort of the fringe avant-garde kind of guy, but a lefty, he was thinking Hillary would win. And I didn't know this, but on the morning... After Trump, it was obvious Trump won. He messaged me. He says, "You were right, you fucking asshole." And then he posts for the public on the public his own page. He says, "Wake me in 2020. Wake me up in 2020." So Paul got more interested in this Ion thing. It took him a while over the last year, but. He comes in and insults Ion and that, but he's now trying the RNA drops. You know, he's starting to get in, but it's the typical Toronto liberal intellectuals up there. They can't take Trump. It's so shocking to them. But that was a great message. I didn't know that he knew that I had said Trump would win. You know, didn't know. They're really impressed with Ion having got that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh. Now, there are different people say, I predicted, blah, blah, I knew Trump would win. But see, what they didn't do is describe from the summer to the election the ups and downs. Like in September, Hillary was way ahead. And Ion said, that's happening. We told you that would happen. It would go up and down all the way to election day. So they described the step by step through the month, not just, you know, a general statement of the outcome. See, that's what's different with Ion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
They described it.
They predicted this out.
Is the way it would go.
Right.
In the month during, before the election.
He laid it all out in advance.
Yes. Yeah, the step by step. Okay, so I have amazed you. I would email, okay, I gotta send you the futurist, the hologram, Ion is a hologram. What was another one?
Was it the Twin Peaks?
Yeah, no, the Donald Trump stuff from 2009.
That's right.
Yeah.
I really want to see the hologram one of Ion, though. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty. You will hear, I used to say, you will hear Carolyn gasp when Ion first shows us the sleeping JW, and it's removed from JW. But when I hear it now, I don't hear the gasp. But she gasped, you might hear, but I don't hear it anymore. But that was a perceptual shock for Carolyn, just seeing JW over there in that part of the room and an exact replica of Ion floating there, of JW floating there in front of us, separate from the body. Now, you're not going to see that, but you're going to hear it and hear what happens in the description. As a matter of fact, a little while later, oh, this is something good. As we are going along talking to Ion, the hologram, all of a sudden the screen goes pastel, wavy, a weird effect. We can't see Ion. So we say, what happened to the screen? Did we get disconnected? He says, no. I am showing you the connections between two worlds. Not my world and another world, but between two worlds, like a third position. What the space looks like between two worlds. Well, the very pastel weird effect that Ion made shows up in Twin Peaks when they go to the White Lodge and somebody is looking through the TV screen at what's happening, maybe Dale Cooper or somebody, they have that pastel effect.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
maybe that's why it sounded familiar.
What?
Maybe that's why it sounded familiar, because I was kind of picturing something in my head of what it would look like.
Right. Well, yes, and then later in the session, there's a wall appears in the factory room where he's showing us the cold play technology, and there's this weird 19th century old English wall in the middle of the room, sort of, or off to the side, and I said, "There's a new wall there. What's that?" And he says, okay, see, you got this imagined wall that we can see and the regular wall of the building. And he says, if you notice they converge at the end of the room, that's a portal. And when you go through that, you're 8 inches high. So he actually made a visualization of going into a portal, for our screen. So he did the connections between two worlds. And then how a portal. That's what he did on the screen. So you'll hear us talk about that.
Yeah, that's okay. I look forward to that, Bob.
Okay, good. Let's end now.
Okay, buddy.
If you want to do more after you hear some of the stuff, we can do a follow-up.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up. But, yeah, enjoy your time, the rest of your day. And thanks for, telling me how it is.
Get Greg on the drops. He's going to need it after he hears this.
Well, when are you sending me my bottle?
We'll see. I don't know. No comment.
Give me a
Talk
coupon.
To you later about that.
Give me a coupon code or something.
Right. I'll send. There's a free sample. No, there's a sample bottle, really cheap, $14. You can do that one.
Okay. All right, Bob.
I gotta go.
Peace.
I gotta get ready for the show.
Namaste. Bye bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.